I'm on some stuff around the 4th of July, into June, 4th of July, on America. It's called In God We Trust. And, you know, so I focus on America for 2 or 3 weeks. But don't think I do that all year long. I couldn't do that all year long. I generally talk about life and how to live life and how life, you know, as far as with God, different experiences, you know, through the Word of God, we can learn. That's generally how I talk. But this is important. We live in America. And we're told, you know, separation of church and state, and you can't mix politics and religion. I'm glad somebody somewhere along the way mixed it. That's how we got here. You understand? Yes or no? Yes, somebody somewhere mixed it. Yeah. It's like, you know, this great country formed on these great religious principles and beliefs, but, you know, these people, no, they had nothing to do with politics. Of course they did. That's what it is. It's getting stuff done, and that's what they did. You know? One of the greatest leaders of our history, and you don't have to know a thing about history, and you would know that one of your greatest leaders of all time was Abraham Lincoln. You know? Abraham Lincoln was blank. Fill in the blank. Abraham Lincoln was blank. Say it. Say a word about Abe that you might think of. Honest. Boom, there it is. Honest. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? How that we're just told, you know, honest. Isn't it crazy? And after what? 150 years, he still stands out as being honest. That sort of tells you about how many dishonest ones we've had. If you have, you know, 150 years, that guy still stands out. We need somebody like Abraham Lincoln. Well, that's 150 years ago. Can't we find somebody? Come on. Amen. But anyway, an incredible man. And today we're going to close this 3-week series on the Gettysburg Address and his final words and some wisdom from Abraham Lincoln today. Also, in the second service today, I've got a message totally different called Why America? Say that with me. Why America? Why did they come? And why did they form this place called America? And that's easy. See, we got it. They did it. It's all easy now. But it wasn't easy for them. We're going to talk about it. Why America? Why did they do it? Why are we here? So that's the second service. It'll be some fireworks in that one. But let's go with Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States. Under his courageous leadership, America survived the Civil War and remained, say it with me, the what? The United States. He was a man of the highest moral character. Matter of fact, he was nicknamed, say it with me, Honest Abe. How many have ever heard him called that? That's Honest Abe. Abraham Lincoln never lost his touch. Church, and this is something he can teach us today. He never lost his touch with who? The common people. I never want a pastor of church that loses touch with common folk. I don't want a thing to do with it. I want to be able to be relatable. I want to be able to be approachable. I want people of all walks of life to be able to come to Fellowship Church and be welcomed from the high to the low, rich, poor. I want that. You understand? I want us to be able to be a relatable congregation. Boy, he could. He never lost touch with the common folk. President of the United States. From being raised in a log cabin, working at clearing land, splitting rails, Lincoln taught himself law. He gained a respected reputation as a lawyer. And then he became the 8th Circuit Judge in Illinois. He was elected to the Illinois State Legislature, to the United States Congress, and after becoming a national figure through his debate against Stephen A. Douglas' pro-slavery bill, he was nominated as the what? Republican candidate for president. A lot of people don't know that Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. It was Abraham Lincoln who fought against slavery. You understand? Yes or no? We forget that. Only 1 week after he was inaugurated as president, the southern states formed the Confederacy. 1 week in. Can you imagine such a thing? You're president a week and all of a sudden, what happened? The southern states formed the Confederacy, and within a month, the Civil War had begun. With the Confederate Army firing on Fort Sumter on April 12, 1861. The Civil War ended 4 years later on April 9, 1865, with the surrender of General Robert E. Lee to General Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox, Virginia. By the conclusion of the war, say it with me, over a half a million men had died, which is more than all the combined casualty of all the other wars that America's fought throughout history. That's incredible, isn't it? Under this man's watch, God had his hand on this man. God did something unusual in this man's life. I believe it. I always will. 5 days later, on April 14, 1865, after freeing millions of slaves, Abraham Lincoln was in Ford's Theater and was shot by John Wilkes Booth. Dead. Incredible, isn't it? This man walked on the stage of history in our country. We can learn from him. In a memorial address for President Lincoln on April 24, 1865, Speaker of the House, Representative Schuyler Colfax, stated, "Nor should I forget to mention here that the last act of Congress ever signed by Lincoln was one requiring that the motto in which he sincerely believed, 'In God we trust,' should hereafter be inscribed upon our national coins." Who did that? You ought to know this. I said it before. I want you to learn it again. Who did that? Abraham. What was his final act? Every time you pick up a coin and see "In God we trust," or a dollar bill, or any kind of money, and you see "In God we trust," you can always know that was that man's last thing he ever did. Last thing that man ever did was put that on our money. Isn't that good? Well, it'd be interesting if the church could learn that when you get some money, if it's God gave you that. You see what I'm saying? But we get it, and all of a sudden it's ours, ain't it? It's right there on the money. You trust God, right? Isn't that incredible? What a legacy this man left us. Keep going. Let's look at a couple of things as we finish up his life today. Abraham Lincoln, we've already discussed it. He believed the Bible. Many times you'd see Abraham Lincoln carrying a Bible. Can you imagine such a thing? Say, there goes the president. He's got his Bible today. He's going to work. How about that, huh? Say, would that be nice or what? No, you can't do that. Separation of church and state, you'll offend somebody. Abraham Lincoln, "Hi, how you doing?" You understand? Abraham Lincoln went to church on Sunday. There was a turning point in his life when his little boy Willie was 12 years old. Willie died. And it crushed Lincoln. And he'd always been a good man and a God-fearing man. But his pastor, that he attended the church here in Washington, the First Presbyterian Church, his pastor said it was at that time Lincoln nailed his salvation down in Jesus Christ. There was no doubt about it from then on out that Jesus was his Lord and Savior. That's what his pastor said. Attended church on Sunday morning. He would actually go to Wednesday night prayer meeting. Can you imagine such a thing? A little small group praying and the president walks in the back door with his Bible. You'd often see him praying on his knees, Abraham Lincoln. What would you do if you had the Civil War going on? You think you might pray too? Yes or no? Abraham Lincoln, the Gettysburg Address. Let's look at it. On November 19, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln delivered his Gettysburg Address. The Battle of Gettysburg, 3 days of intense fighting and over 50,000 deaths, was the beginning and the end for the valiant Confederate Army. President Lincoln, his 10-sentence speech of only 267 words, has become world-renowned and is engraved in stone at the Lincoln Memorial, the Gettysburg Address. I'd like to read it to you. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men, say it with me, are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that nation might what? Live! It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here. Boy, he was wrong there, though. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, say it with me, under God, shall have new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Wow. What a great talk. It's one thing to write a little speech to get you some votes. It's another thing to write a speech like that where 50,000 men have died and your country's torn in two and people are being held as slaves and treated like dirt and animals. That's incredible, isn't it? I want you to see that. I want you to hear that again and feel that. Amen? Maybe you'll quit your griping. You listening or not? Putting down our country, running your mouth. Did you know you live in America? Did you know Inglewood's America? I don't know if y'all knew that or not. Say, did you know where we live's America? Did you know you could take pride right here in where you live? Did you know that? You could be a great citizen right here. You can love people right here. You can be thankful right here. You can cut off your TV and stop listening to the political crap, excuse me, to where you're depressed half the time. Some people I can't even hang out with. I'll be honest with you, I don't even hang out with them. I can't go to dinner with them, you know, because they won't talk about this, they won't talk about that. And nothing's good about America. Did you hear me? I don't know where they live. I don't live there. I live in a great country. I live in a great town. I live in a great state. Did y'all know that or not? I went to the beach yesterday and took a beautiful lady, and by the way, who I'm getting married to. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Now, some of y'all know this. You had to be at the party the other night. I really announced it the other night, so I'm sorry if you weren't there. And she's got little kids. Her name is Kim. She attends here. Her parents have known me for years, and I've known her. I baptized years ago. But we went to the beach yesterday, and that storm made beautiful pools along the beach. You ought to go today if you get a chance. You ought to go. You ought to go to Middle Beach today and take your family. Or go there and look at these pools that are like 4 or 5 football fields long. It's like going to Adventure Island, not having to pay. But it's real. You live there. Did you know you live there? Say, that's your country you live in. And you live in the greatest state. I'm just telling you, come on, can't we lift our head up and be happy? Say, can't we do that? Say. I heard a brother, Gene Martin, told me this morning, he was encouraged by a brother to just turn off that, quit watching so much that political mess, because you get so down, depressed, and you argue, and you just affects your... And he said, I did that. And he said, man, it's just so much better. He's been using that time talking to people, encouraging people, lifting people, making a difference in his community. You understand what I'm talking about or not? Amen? Not that it doesn't matter. The politics matter. Voting matters. Putting the best person in office, that all matters, I understand. But is it all important? Now, the reason I can preach like this, let me tell you why. Because I've been there and I've done it. I've watched it so much. You understand, yes or no? But when hell come against me about 1.5, 2 years ago so hard, I decided, Gary Clark, you have got to be the very best you can be. You can't have a lot of mess coming into your head. It's going to affect your attitude because your attitude's already shot. So I started guarding my heart better. Y'all listening or not? If I lost you this morning, I'd like to encourage you. And you know what that's done for me? That's made me love my community more. It's made me love people more. It's made me get out more. You understand? So I want to encourage you to do that. How many thinks you could use that little talk this morning? Can I see your hand? There you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. Come on. Boy, Lincoln would say so, wouldn't he? He said, boy, these guys fought and died so you could have a great place. Lift your head up. Amen? Come on. Good stuff. That wasn't planning on being in my talk. Lincoln's final words. You can tell a lot about a person by some of the things he says. The last words he says. Let's check them out. On April the 14th, 1865, just 5 days after the Civil War had ended, Abraham Lincoln went to the Ford's Theater. He was with his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln. She recalled his last words as they were sitting there that night. This is she speaking of her husband. He said he wanted to visit the what? Last thing he said. The Holy Land. And I want to see the places hallowed by the footprints of the who? He was saying there's no city he so much desired to see as Jerusalem. How many didn't know that? Can I see your hand? Isn't that incredible? And with the words half spoken on his tongue, he said, I can't wait to see Jerusalem. With the words half spoken on his tongue, the bullet of the assassin entered the brain, and the soul of the great and good president was carried by the angels to the New Jerusalem. Amen? Come on, let's thank the Lord for this man. Come on! Thank you, Lord, for a good man. A good leader. He got to see Jerusalem. He got to see the New Jerusalem. Amen? Come on. It's incredible. We're not far away from being done. In 1896, President William McKinley gave his assessment of President Abraham Lincoln. The purposes of God, working through the ages, were perhaps more clearly revealed to him than to any other. He was the greatest man of his time, especially approved of God for the work that he gave him to do. It's incredible. How many have been to the Lincoln Memorial? Lots of you. Aren't we blessed that we get to go do stuff like this in this country? Say, come on. It's funny, people forget. I mean, how can you say we're not a country, a nation under God? We're not a Christian nation when all you got to do is walk out your stinking office there in Washington and look at the monuments all around you and look at the scriptures and you know, stone all around you. It's craziness. Lincoln's own words are inscribed into the walls of the Lincoln Memorial. We didn't go make this up. This is there. All Roger had to do was just find it and put it up on the screen for you. That this nation under what? Shall have new birth of freedom, and the government of the people and by the people and for the people shall not perish from the earth. At the opposite end, on the north wall, his second inaugural address alludes to God, the Bible, providence, which is God's hand leading, the Almighty, and divine attributes. But our leaders weren't influenced by God. Are you kidding me? It then continues. As was said 3,000 years ago and still must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It's right there on it. Let's say that together. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether from His second inaugural address. One more time. the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. How much better would we be as a nation if we thought that way? Amen? Come on the Lincoln Memorial. There he is. Some closing words from Abraham Lincoln. Now, we're almost done, aren't we? Some closing words. Some things I want you to remember. They're not too many. Just a couple here. Are you ready? On December 23rd, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln related to his secretary, John Hay, "Common-looking people are the best in the world. That's the reason the Lord makes so many of them." But isn't it funny how we elevate the ones that are the most beautiful, the ones that are all the stars and the this and the that, and most of those guys, I'll be honest with you, have turned against America, most of them. And we elevate them, we pay the money, we do all this mess, I call it crap, excuse me, and yet they're the ones saying they want to leave America, many of them. We actually looked at some stuff recently on Hollywood stars that said they, you know, if Bush got elected president, they're leaving the country. Well, we did a little review. Did you know only one left? And he was, I mean, for sure we know one left, and that was a reporter, Pierre Salinger, went back to France. Well, he was French to begin with. I'm sorry, I'm being ugly up here. Come on! Common-looking people are the best in the world. That's the reason the Lord made so many of them. So if you're common-looking, good. Amen? I love this statement here by Abraham Lincoln, one of my favorite quotes of his. "No man is poor who has a godly mother." I love that, don't you? Say that with me. I'm going to change it to mama. No man is poor who has a godly mama. Come on, one more time. I want you to learn this quote. No man is poor who has a godly... One more time. No man is poor who has a godly... How many would say, Pastor, mama won't perfect, but I had a godly mama, and I got a godly mama. Amen. Look at you. You ain't poor, are you? Say. You know you ain't. Boy, here's something. Wow. The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So many of our college campuses today, y'all know it's the truth. We got so many educators in the building here today, but you know it's the truth. So many of our colleges, God help America. You listening? That's what Abraham Lincoln said. The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation is going to be the philosophy of government in the next. The only assurance of our nation's safety is to lay our foundation in what? Morality and what? And a lot of people say that religion, you know, America is a free country. You can worship any way you choose. But anytime you see religion from our founders, they were talking about Christianity. They're talking about faith in Jesus. You can't find any other thing that they ever talk about or even alluded to. So what was he saying? The hope of our country is found in morality and Christianity. Belief in Jesus Christ. Are we done, buddy? That's the message, Abraham Lincoln, and we're getting out on time. Come on, let's thank the Lord for Abraham Lincoln today. Honest Abe. Amen. Praise the Lord.